Our reading for today starts in Luke chapter 19, verse 11. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 11. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas, and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you were a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him, and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. A few of our readings recently have addressed Jesus dealing with the fact that his time is coming soon, that he's going to go to Jerusalem, and that he'll be crucified, and he's begun warning his disciples about this. But here it states that he tells this parable because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. And so then he goes into this parable in order to correct that misconception. The problem in this case was timing, thinking the kingdom was to appear immediately. I think a little bit of historical context might help us here. When we're talking about receiving a kingdom, the way that Jesus is describing it, we're not talking about the heir to a kingdom. In other words, somebody was king and they die and their son becomes king. We're talking about more the idea of being appointed as maybe a governor or ruler in that sense. So thinking about the context of them being under the rule of Rome, perhaps someone might be chosen to be ruler over an area. And so they would go to Rome and get their commission, and any objections to their rule might be dealt with at that point before they would go back and then present themselves to the people as the new ruler. And just from that description, you can understand that that takes some time to do, especially, you know, just regarding travel and, you know, politics and all these different things that are involved. So that was pretty typical, that somebody that was going to be appointed a leader over an area, it was going to take some time for that to come to fruition. So in this setting then, this nobleman is giving money to the servants and tells them, do business in my stead while I'm gone. In other words, I'm putting you in charge of these things. I'm letting you handle things. But if you understand that they are being given charge over what didn't belong to them, then you also understand that when he comes back, there's some accounting that has to be done. You have to show him what you've done and why it either made money or didn't make money and how much it made or didn't make. The point was that he was trusting them with that work and they were going to have to come back and explain all of that to him when he returns. And so Luke explains that Jesus describes in terms of this parable that when he comes back and he does this accounting, that they come back and say, look, this is how much money I made on your behalf. You know, this is the business that I conducted for you while you were gone. And so they have shown themselves to be trustworthy, and perhaps we might say they've shown some good judgment. So then he appoints them in within his government to rule over cities, 10 cities, 5 cities. But this last one says, I was afraid of you. Well, I think all of them probably were afraid of him, and I think all of them understood what was expected of them, but it was only this last one that allowed their fear to paralyze them in such a way that they don't do anything at all. It says, I kept it in a handkerchief for you. And if he's expecting business to be conducted while he's gone, then you can understand how he would be angry. He says, at the very least, the least amount of effort you could have used would be for you to go and put that money in the bank and it draw interest. He said, that's the least you could have done. It wouldn't have required anything more than you going down to the bank at the beginning and an end of this term and then giving an accounting. Whereas the others probably conducted business on a daily basis. So think about savings accounts today. I don't even bother to look at interest rates on savings accounts anymore because the rate is so low that it makes almost no money whatsoever. You know, even the best interest rates, you've got to have thousands of dollars in the bank to even get the tiniest little interest payments on it. So you don't really put your money in a savings account thinking I'm going to make money on that. It's more of a place to store it than anything. But you understand the idea of least effort. I put it in there. It's stored in there. It's kept safe for me. And, you know, I get some tiny amount off of it while the bank basically then uses my money to conduct business. So because this one has not conducted business for him at all, has not been faithful in watching over the business affairs of his ruler, he takes it away from him and he goes to the guy that was the most successful and says, you know, there's give it to him. He'll take care of it. Let him handle it. Well, if you gave him one and it turned into 10, now he's going to give him another one, probably turn into 10 again. So that'd be the most fruitful thing. So we understand that in terms of business. But then it says that Jesus turns to those who are his enemies. In verse 14, it says, his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. So in terms of what I described with the Roman government, that means that maybe they would have sent a delegation to Rome as well for them to make a case that we don't want him to rule over us. So they were opposing him and he knows who's doing this. So then when we get to verse 27, it says, as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Put them to death for opposing me. So now we're not talking just about business. We're talking about rule and authority. So in terms of the three individuals that are given the authority to conduct business, one of them just simply doesn't do his job. Maybe we'd call that rebellion, or maybe we'd call it an ineptitude. But these, they're outright rejecting him. We don't want him at all. We're not going to follow him. We refuse to follow him. And, you know, in terms of a kingdom, those would probably be people that would stir up rebellions and insurrection against a ruler. So because they are rejecting outright, he's going to reject them and he's going to kill them. So that's in there, and we needed to think about that. You know, rejecting Jesus, rejecting God is going to result in our condemnation and separation from him. But let's go back to the one that didn't do anything with the mina. Was it laziness? Was it distraction? Or was it just fear? Well, again, as I mentioned, I think they all feared him because of the position that he was in. But this is the only one that didn't do anything. So he accepts the rule, but he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. Well, that sounds like what's possible for someone to do today, that we accept Jesus, and we might do the initial obedience in order to place ourselves into his kingdom as a citizen, But then we don't do what we're supposed to do. So we're still found unfaithful, whether we outright rejected in the beginning, or whether we just simply didn't do what we were supposed to do. We are blessed every single day to be a citizen of the kingdom. Are we making the most of it? Are we using what we've been blessed with? Are we being active in serving our Lord and Savior? So today we need to pray that we have a spirit of faith, not a spirit of fear, that we might serve Him to the best of our ability and be found faithful at the end so that we can be rewarded. Consider these things as you go about your day, and please also continue in prayer that God may be with us all.